The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning in with us. My name is Ben, and I'm sitting here with our Maverick auto editor, Scott.
How you doing?
Are you going to say hi?
Maverick. Well, I haven't heard that one since the early days of the podcast.
Yeah. I thought I'd bring it back.
Yeah, it's retro.
I'm a little bit of a Maverick with introductions. So we figured we would probably take it easy today. You know, the weather's changing here in Atlanta. We've got some relaxing times coming up, hopefully, some exciting ones as well. So maybe we can go just a little bit more relaxed here and talk about famous cars of television.
Oh, that's simple. That's a good one. I like that, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I do like it. No, I really do. It's a good topic because you know, I think back to sitting in front of the television when I was a kid watching, you know, the shows that I couldn't wait for the next scene with whatever car it was to come on, because to me that was exciting. That was the, you know, that's why I tuned in.
Oh,
in a lot of cases.
Yeah, and definitely iconic. But let's define it, I guess, first. Mm-hmm. What exactly do we mean when we say television cars?
Well, we're talking about shows where the cars are really the stars of the show. They've almost been like, there's almost a persona to them that, you know, you become familiar with it, and they have names. Mm-hmm. You know, people refer to them as, you know, she, or you know, by the name of the car. Like we'll talk about a few. I won't give any away right now.
But, okay.
They become so ingrained in that television show that if that car were to go away, the show probably wouldn't be around.
And they're, yeah, I think that's a very good point. They're iconic too, right? There's some things where, quite literally, the vehicle is the most recognizable part.
That's right, instantly recognizable. A lot of them, you know, you can see them in a group of 100 other cars, and you'd be able to pick out certain vehicles that you're familiar with from television.
So why are they important?
Well, I tell you, we kind of touched on this already, but and I'll give you a couple of examples here. Right out of the bat, but remember the show Dukes of Hazzard?
General Lee,
of course.
Yes,
of course. What would Dukes of Hazzard be without the General Lee?
Canceled.
It'd be just a bunch of guys out. What are they putting in, fence posts out in the middle of nowhere? And you know, it just wouldn't be that exciting.
Okay. I agree with you that it wouldn't be that exciting. But the plot of the two brothers and their sister Daisy, you know, who are trying to stop the corrupt boss hog and the sheriff, you know, and the terms of their probation, they can't leave the county.
Sure.
Okay, you're right. It wouldn't have worked.
No, it wouldn't have.
It wouldn't have worked without
every
the car.
Single show had a high percentage of the General Lee. I mean, it was it was so prominent in that show that if they took that away, I don't think they would have had nearly the success that they had.
The episode would have been 11 minutes long.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, strange show. I mean, I loved it a lot. It was a really good show. I liked the car, but I think without the car, the show wouldn't have lasted. And another example that, and this is, well, this is a huge one. Knight Rider.
Oh, yes. Kit.
See, you know. Old, what was that, a Pontiac Trans Am? like an early 80s Pontiac Trans Am.
Yeah,
there would not have been a show without Kit, really. I mean, that was the whole basis for that show was that car. And this is another example where, you know, that is so key to that that episode or that series, rather, that if it were to go away, there just wouldn't be a program.
And, you know, it really speaks highly of Kit's success that Knight Rider has a resurgence now. I think it returned to the screen.
It did, and it's gone again.
Oh, well.
Yeah, very recently, though. I mean, I'm not surprised that you hadn't heard because it was very recently canceled. And I'm actually kind of surprised by that. I thought maybe it would catch on again, but
were you watching it?
I did not. I didn't even see one episode. But then again, maybe that's why it's gone, right?
Yeah.
Not many people were watching it. Maybe it was in a bad time or something.
Guilty confession, I didn't watch it either. I guess, you know, part of it might be that, well, I remember being younger, I was so impressed with the original Knight Rider, because that's back before we had stuff like that in real life, you know?
It was pre-computers.
Yeah.
It really was. I mean, not really, but it was, you didn't have all the electronic gadgetry that we do now, where you could almost expect a car to do what Kit does. Well, not really, but, you know.
At least tell you where to go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There was no navigation systems in cars. Cars didn't talk to you, and eventually cars started to talk to you. I mean, there are vehicles that had a voice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, we've got navigation systems. We've got a lot of very sophisticated electronics that do a lot of the things that Kit did back then. Not to the extreme. I mean, we don't have, I don't know, geez, what, shark repellent or whatever.
Yeah.
No, he didn't have that. I think it was Batman.
That was, yeah. Well, that was on his belt. You know what? I'm sorry.
See,
I don't
want
to get too much of a tangent.
Yeah.
I do know a little bit about Batman, but the one thing that I think is worth pointing out, especially in defense of Knight Rider, there's a very interesting argument to be made, or at least it's something to think about. Has that series influenced in some ways the research and innovation that have come about in real cars today?
Hmm. Well, that's a tough question. I don't know, because it was so outlandish, some of the stuff that he would do.
There's no way to measure it.
No, I have to say I don't think so. I mean, it gave people a high expectation for future cars.
Mm-hmm.
It really did, because even now, I mean, here we are, how much longer? We're 25 years later.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of that stuff is not around. We don't have, I don't have any great examples of what, you know, some of the fantastic technology that Kit had, but we just don't have it. It's kind of like the flying car thing.
Okay.
You hear about flying cars, and you know they're going to happen. They're going to happen, and
yes,
it takes forever.
It takes forever.
Not coming around, but
I see.
I don't know if that really molded anybody. Maybe there's some designers out there that are looking back at old episodes of Knight Rider and trying to decide what to do next.
You think so? Maybe the OnStar folks started the company.
Maybe.
Oh, and no offense to you guys if you're listening, but if that is the case, please write to us.
Of course, yeah. And of course, you know, the series was a springboard for Hasselhoff and his singing career.
Oh, that's right.
You're looking at me like, I'm kidding, really.
No. I'm surprised that, A, that you would bring it up, and B, that I would also know.
And then I'm supposed to say, because everybody says this, huge star in Germany.
Yeah, congratulations.
Big in Germany.
Mm-hmm. And wish him the best of luck there in Germany as
that was
as
an
a
awkward
singer.
Pause.
Yeah.
Let's
do some more examples. TV cars.
Well, okay, we can do that.
You want to do that?
Yeah, we've got a bunch of them here.
Yeah.
Let's see. Everybody's going to have their own favorites, of course. But
sure.
I've got a short list here that, you know, we can go through just real quickly, and you can, you know, expand on these if you want.
Yeah, sure.
We've already talked about the General Lee. Remember Boss Hogg's Cadillac from the same show.
Yeah,
with the horns on the front.
Yes.
Yeah, that giant Cadillac. That thing must have been 25 feet long.
I saw a reproduction of that once.
Did you?
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
I knew it looked vaguely familiar, and it was not until I saw another example. It was back when my family and I used to live in Tennessee. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat. Somebody took their own initiative to do that, huh? To put the horns on the front. And
we can only hope they had a problem with somebody who had a reproduction of the General Lee.
Was it anybody wearing a big white suit with a cigar sticking out of his mouth? Or?
No, it was actually parked, so we didn't get to see who parked outside of a grocery store.
I was hoping for the full-on,
gosh. Well, we can
representation.
Dream.
We can dream.
What's next?
Next, Knight Rider. We already talked about Kit.
Mm-hmm.
What about the A-Team van?
Oh, the A-Team van.
Now, you know what? I think I stole that one from you. I didn't mean to do that.
No,
but,
no.
Because you were excited about this one ahead of time, I know.
This is so lame. I know what that van is.
You
do? It's a 1983 GMC G-Series.
Oh, cool.
And so that's. I think that might be the only time on this show that I actually knew something beforehand. The reason I know is because I was telling you earlier about this custom van thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, Scott, I'm really thinking.
You liked it, huh? The black van. Didn't it have a red stripe on it? Is that what it had?
Yes.
Yeah.
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 And, yeah, I've really been thinking about that. But we're just going to leave that for a later show. What's next?
You know, I was never an A-Team fan, so I didn't really get into the A-Team van at all. The original Batmobile. We would be doing this program a great injustice if we didn't mention the Batmobile.
The
original Batmobile, because that's the one that was on the television show. We're not talking about the movie Batmobile. We're talking about the original Batmobile.
Mm-hmm.
And there's kind of an interesting story that goes along with the original Batmobile. It was a 1955 Lincoln Futura concept car that Ford showed at a auto show.
Mm-hmm.
It was hand-built in Italy. And it cost them, I think it was something like $250,000 to build this car, or somewhere in that neighborhood.
Wow.
And it wasn't produced. It was the concept car is left alone, of course. George Barris, who is a custom car builder in California, bought the car from Ford for $1.
$1?
$1. And he, of course, went to town on this thing. I mean, he made it into what is now the Batmobile. So if you saw the original car, if you ever, mm-hmm. You can Google this, you can look up the original car, what it looked like when George received it. And then, of course, we all know what the original Batmobile looks like, or if you don't, check it out. It's really cool.
Oh,
but,
man.
But that, to me, that's just one of the, you can spot that car instantly. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a few reproductions of it, on display.
Full size?
Yeah. There are a few, replicas made. But, yeah, it's an interesting car. I think it's one that sticks out in a lot of people's minds.
Yeah, I know how ridiculous it is. And, honestly, Scott, intellectually, I understand that the things that car did on television are not things that a vehicle can do in real life.
Oh,
but I still want it.
That's all part of it. That's the television excitement. That they mm-hmm. can do that with it. And I don't know. That's part of just what makes them intriguing to us.
Yeah, you're a lucky man, Adam West. What's next?
Yeah, that's right. Let's see. I've got the Ferrari Daytona Spider from Miami Vice.
Oh yes. Yep.
Yeah, that was a cool one. I think that was actually a Corvette. That's what I heard. It wasn't a true Ferrari.
That's weird because it looked like.
Yeah,
it looked like a Ferrari.
Well, it was a Corvette that they had, Hollywood magic.
You're the expert.
Yeah, well, and then I guess the following year, Ferrari actually came through with a real Ferrari for them, so that they had an authentic Ferrari for their show, and that was a white Ferrari Testarossa. So, was it Crockett and Tubbs? They were cruising around Miami in Crockett and Tubbs, you remember them, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
They were cruising around Miami in a Testarossa for a while, a white Testarossa. And you know what? For one episode, that car was black. But after that point, they painted it white.
Yeah, I mean, they had the white-pink thing going on in the way they dressed anyway. Mm-hmm. So.
And a lot of nighttime shots is what I heard, is that they it didn't show up as well.
Oh, yeah.
So one episode was black and didn't work out so well, and they painted it, and from that point forward, it was white.
It was the kind of show where you didn't have to explain that.
Yeah.
It just happened.
And let's see. Starsky and Hutch?
Starsky and Hutch. Is that Ferrari's? No.
No. It's a Ford Gran Torino.
Yeah, what am I thinking of?
It's from, 70s, 1975,
yeah.
I think.
That's the classic,
right? Yeah, the white one with the red, or, I'm sorry, red one with the big white real angular stripe. Awesome car. I mean, that's also in the movies. A lot of listeners have probably seen the movie that was out recently with Owen Wilson and Ben Stiller.
Mm-hmm.
But in the television show, those cars were great. I loved watching them slide sideways around city streets. It was pretty cool. Another Ferrari from Magnum PI.
That's the one I'm thinking about.
Yeah, on Hawaii. Pretty cool. I was always excited when that car came on. Because at the time, that was the latest Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
And just loved looking at it, because you didn't, where I was at the time, I was young also, I didn't see many exotic cars, and that was one that really sticks out in my mind.
Yeah, that's pretty. I actually remember that as well. I don't want to date myself, but I got one for you. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Remember that jalopy in the Beverly Hillbillies?
Oh, I do.
Yeah. That's a TV car.
Yeah. Oh, the one with the granny's rocker on the back?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I'm not saying that the absence of that car would mess up the show, but it was the intro.
Mm-hmm. No, it would mess up the show, Ben. It would, because that car was great. I love that. You know what it was? Do you have a guess? Or do you already know?
I can guess, but I'll probably be wrong.
Okay.
Was it a Model A?
No.
Was it a Model T?
No.
Was it a model of any sort?
No.
Oh, I'm so bad at
well,
this.
Well, it was, but it was not a Ford. It was a, it was an early 1920s Oldsmobile.
Oh.
Oldsmobile flatbed truck that was, of course, customized to make it look like one of the vehicles from, the migration to the West, really, really rough. It was always dusty and dirty, and of course it had Granny perched on the back in her rocking chair. That was a great car. I love that one. And one that in that same era of television, there were a few cars that, and I love these cars. These were the Addams Family cars and the Munsters cars.
Oh man, yeah, they were wild.
Yeah, they were crazy. The Munsters had these unbelievable hot rods that were they were so cool. They had the big exposed engine in the front, the big V8 with the pipes. They had something called the Munsters Coach, which is their family car, and it was really long, stretched out hot rod car, really cool, and looked like a stagecoach really on with a V8.
Yeah.
And then Grandpa Munster had a drag car. Do you remember this one?
Yes. He had his own ride.
Yeah.
Yes.
And do you remember what it looked like? One distinct feature. I mean, it was a he was a vampire.
Okay, I remember that he had a car, but I was quite young when I was watching.
Oh, I didn't mean to stump you.
No.
It was a coffin. It was a huge coffin, and it was called Dragula.
I feel so dumb, Scott, because I remember seeing it, but I don't remember having put together that was obviously a coffin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's his car. I mean, it makes sense. He's a vampire. That's his coffin. He drove that. Just unbelievable sports car, or not a sports car, a hot rod, really.
I'm going to get such a hard time about this because it's obviously a coffin,
well,
isn't
it? Well, the second I said it, your face went blank, like, I knew that. You knew it already, so.
Tangent, I think you'll enjoy this just to show you
sure.
How much of an antithesis of an expert I am. Mm-hmm. Just 4 months ago, it occurred to me that the main ingredient in soy sauce was soybeans. Because it's in the name.
That was a tangent, but
It's a tangent. So I'm just saying it's not unknown. But
I understand.
So okay, I'll be honest with you too. I always liked the Munster cars mm-hmm. better than the Addams Family cars,
mm-hmm.
but I never really. I always enjoyed the Addams Family, the actual show,
mm-hmm.
more so. And I wish they would switch cars.
I think you're right. I actually like both. I thought that they're pretty good. I just remember the limo from the Addams Family, the big family vehicle with Lurch driving.
Right,
his head was always sticking above the windshield.
Mm-hmm.
Loved
mm-hmm.
that scene. That was whenever they showed that was really cool. I thought.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one.
Guy was like 7.5 feet tall or something. It's huge.
But I think we already touched on this in another podcast. The other Addams Family car.
Cousin It's
bubble car.
Yeah, was it a nice Messerschmitt?
Yeah,
at least in the movie he did. Did he have that in the television show as well?
I want to say no.
I don't know. I'm not 100% positive.
I'm not 100% either way.
In the movie, he did have a Messerschmitt. We just recently talked about him. You're right. So
yeah.
That's a good connection, Ben.
Hey,
yeah.
I'm just here to hang out.
And I promise you, my list is ending very soon. But there's one that this one for me, this is right up there with the Batmobile and the General Lee. And you may not even remember that. Maybe you do. I don't know. The Coyote. You know what the Coyote is?
From where?
Hardcastle and McCormick. You don't remember that?
I'm unfamiliar.
The show wasn't
man.
All that great. Maybe at the time I thought it was all right. But I was in it to watch this car. It was called the Coyote.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool sports car. It was made from a Manta Montage. And they're real sleek looking cars. I mean, it's kind of a bubble. It's kind of a canopy looking design.
Mm-hmm.
Supercar design, really. Really cool and very forward thinking for its time. They're still around. I mean, you can still get a Manta Montage. And they built it on the Coyote's That was the name of the car, the Coyote.
Okay.
It was built on a DeLorean for the second and third season, so it changed a little bit. They changed the vehicle so it could have gullwing doors, because the DeLorean had gullwing doors. So they changed it between the first season and the second and third season. And I don't know, I just like the original. I always like the original Coyote.
You're old school.
Yeah, that's right. I just love that design of vehicle. I think it's really...
Yeah.
It's awesome. I love
what, it. What else do we have?
You know, I got just a few more, and I'll go through these super fast because there's not much to them. And the only reason I'm bringing these up is because they were on television.
Please take your time. I'm loving this.
Animated cars. I don't know if that counts because...
Yeah, I didn't know we could do animated cars. We should, though. We should totally do animated cars.
You could have had your own list, I guess. But I've only got four or five, but they're worth mentioning, I think. There was Speed Racers Mach 5.
Of course.
Of course, you have to have that. And if you're going to mention Speed Racer, you got to mention Racer X.
Yes.
He had the black and yellow car.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the Mystery Machine from Scooby-Doo.
Oh, man.
I know. See, what would that program be without the Mystery Machine?
It would be about one episode long because they couldn't get anywhere.
Yeah, a bunch of hitchhiking kids. Who wants to see that? So the next one would be the flying bubble car from the Jetsons.
Yes.
Which, that to me, we were talking about those bubble cars. There's one that looks just like the Jetsons car. Peel Trident.
Yeah.
If you look up a Peel Trident, that looks just like the Jetsons car. It's not flying, of course, but... It looks like a fishbowl. You're sitting in a fishbowl.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. I've only got a couple more. The Flintstones car.
I saw that one coming.
Yeah, did you? And there's a real version of that, and George Barris built it. He's still building, you know, movie cars as well. So, you know, this was obviously a television program in its time.
Uh-huh.
Primetime cartoon early on. I don't remember what year it's like. I mean, it's earlier than you would think. Was it in the 60s?
It was back when you could have cartoon characters advertising cigarettes.
That's right. Yeah, because Fred Flintstone
smoked, was Lucky Strikes?
He was pushing cigarettes. That's right. I don't remember.
I can't remember what brand.
Yeah, I don't either. But, George Barris built the real, the life-size version of the Flintstone car for the movie.
I'm sorry. I don't want to interrupt the list.
No, I've only got two more.
I want to hear him, and then I'll...
You may not even know this one, Mr. Magoo. Remember Mr. Magoo?
I remember Mr. Magoo.
He drove around in some jalopy that was so funny. I mean, it looked like the thing was falling apart, but I don't know.
Mr. Magoo's the one who can't see very well, right?
Yeah, that's right. He was very bumbling. It was pretty silly. That's a long time ago. Sorry, I guess I'm pretty old. And then the last one, this is a good one.
What's that?
Speed Buggy.
Speed Buggy.
You remember Speed Buggy?
I don't remember Speed Buggy.
Speed Buggy, who would go from race to race. They were it was like a group of teenagers. They would travel here and there, and there was always something happening in between races. It was kind of, you know, I don't know if it was mystery or what it was. I can't remember now, but a group of, yeah, it was really cool. And the guy that built the car, he had some way to control him. I think it was a wristwatch or something like that, to control.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Someone was always trying to nab that and make him do things that weren't, you know, that they didn't want him to do. That's painful explanation of what Speed Buggy was, because it was really a funny show, so check it out.
don't let the explanation...
Yeah, really. Don't let that jade you.
Don't let it talk you out of it.
No.
It seems like when we're talking, there's just one I have to bring up. It's from a younger generation for some of us listening and talking here. But the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles also had a van. And
I had no idea.
You know what? I only remember because I had the toy replica of it for a time. But yeah, so even in the animated shows, I guess our point here is even in the animated shows, we still run across television episodes where a vehicle is just as much of a character.
Yeah, that's right. It's just as key as anybody else in that program, if not more in some cases. And that's why we talk about them, because, you know, they've in some cases they've centered the show around that vehicle
quite successfully.
Yeah, quite successfully. I mean, you look at Dukes of Hazzard or Batman. I mean, Batmobile. How cool is that? He had his own Bat Cave for the Batmobile. Just great stuff. I'm sorry. I remember parking myself in front of the television, waiting for the next time I'd see the Batmobile.
Man, it's still such a cool car.
And you know, it was the same way with the General Lee, and it was the same way with the Coyote.
Mm-hmm.
You just, I don't know, it's something in me. I was just so into it. I was excited about it, and I think a lot of other people were the same way.
Now, you know, you're talking as though the podcast is over, and I think we might be getting toward the end, but it sounds like we need to hear a little bit more about this guy who's building all these TV cars.
Okay. George Barris is his name. And he, as far as I know, he's still building cars. He's doing movie cars, doing television cars. He's also built custom cars for celebrities.
Oh,
so, wow. You know, somebody might request that he builds a custom vehicle for them. I don't know what that would be now. A Prius? Mm. I don't know.
Can you make my Prius look like the General Lee?
Yeah, something like that. There probably is one out there. But they call him the King of Customizers with a K, Customizers. And I know he's been doing it for a long time. I mean like 40 years or more. Probably even longer than that. Maybe 50, 60 years.
What a dream job.
Yeah. Yeah, really. I mean, there are a lot of photos on his website of him when he was just a young kid, you know, customizing, not to the extent that he does now, but it's always been in his blood, you can tell.
It does sound like it's in his blood. You know, before we really start, I have one question I'm leading up to here. Before we answer that question, I think we should talk about why these things look so good on television.
They haven't always looked good, because you probably, as well as I have, seen the television programs where clearly they're sitting on a stage and there's a background moving behind them.
Oh, yes.
A movie or something playing behind them. You know, it looks like they're on a road, but they're not really.
Uh-huh. And the drivers do that thing where they're just kind of turning left and right slightly the whole time.
Or dramatically, yeah.
Or dramatically.
Or looking to the left or right for long periods of time and not really, you know, paying attention.
Oh, that makes me so mad. Yeah. Having a conversation with someone in the shotgun seat without looking at, yes.
Yeah, that's right. And so we've seen examples of bad television shows where they do that.
Uh-huh.
Recently, and I wouldn't say even real recently, this has been around for a while, but there's something called a process trailer. And a process trailer is, that's how they make the scene a lot more believable. A process trailer is an extremely low, extremely wide trailer that really acts as kind of a traveling camera platform. You park the car on top of this thing, and it's really close to the ground, so you don't get this, you know, if you pull a car on a trailer, it's usually pretty high up in the air.
Sure.
On a process trailer, when you pull the car onto the trailer, it's still roughly about where it would be on the road.
Wow, it's like a low-rider flatbed?
It's very, very low riding, yeah, that's right. The platform is in between the wheels. It's down really low, so it's as close to the ground as it possibly can be safely.
Mm-hmm.
It's not dragging, but close. And you know, that way they can have the talent, the people, you know, the stars in the car, and they can talk, and they can, the cameras are positioned all around the platform on this process trailer. So it's a big wide trailer that, you know, the cameras are able to be steady outside of the vehicle.
Uh-huh.
The cameraman's kind of doing a balancing act. He's tied in or whatever. But he's able to get a realistic look of, you know, here, there's a real background behind these people. They're really driving the car. It just gives a little bit of credibility to the scene.
Yeah, and we should, you know, that's a really good point for us to make for any listeners who have a reproduction of a very famous or iconic television or even movie car. You know, don't feel bad if you set up a camera on a tripod and drive by and it doesn't look as good, because there's quite a lot of work, right?
Yeah, going, that's right. This. It's not quite as easy as it looks to make a movie.
Okay, but let's...
Or I should say a television program.
Oh, a television program,
because
people will stay tuned maybe for the film car
episode. So. Yeah, we're going to do that pretty soon.
Okay, can we?
Yeah.
All right. I wanted to ask, to close with this one, I love the hypothetical questions.
Mm-hmm.
If you could drive one of these cars, one of these vehicles, not the way it would be in real life, but as it would work on television in the show it's in, which one and why?
I'm going to have to go with the Batman, or Batmobile, rather. Just way too many cool gadgets to stay out of that seat.
Yeah.
I think it's just so cool, the Batmobile. That would have to be my answer. There's a close second.
What's the second?
Was it the Green Hornet?
The Green Hornet car.
Yeah.
Oh, man, we totally forgot about that one.
Do you remember this
car?
Yeah,
yeah.
The huge black car that had all kinds of switches and buttons. And
gadgets.
You know what? I didn't think about it until you told me about this. We should have talked about this, and I'll make it brief, but I was at a car auction one time, one of these real high-end car auctions where, you know, I'm not buying anything. I wasn't buying anything. I was just watching. you know, they're selling $500,000 cars left and right all over the place.
You were just window bidding.
They had the Green Hornets car for sale. They sure did. They had the Green Hornets car for sale, and all of the features and functions on the car worked. All of those switches, all those knobs, all those dials, everything operated.
Really?
Now, you'd flip a switch and a machine gun would come up out of the trunk, or, you know, a canister would appear at the back, you know, to let out the smoke screen or whatever it would
the
be.
Little dart shooters would come
exactly.
up.
Yeah, exactly. And it all worked. Now, the thing was, you know, of course, the machine gun doesn't fire. It's not a real machine gun. However, it would operate. I don't know if it was a hydraulic system or an air system or whatever it was, but it was functional. And as far as I remember, I think they did not sell that car that day. I don't think that anybody met the reserve that they were asking for that vehicle, because it was pretty high.
Must have been.
Yeah, but it was really cool to see that car. I mean, that's one that just sticks out in my head that, you know, this is something I need to remember.
Oh, and you know what? We'll go back to my answer, but we can't end this episode without talking about the difference between the stunt cars that they use.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right?
This is super fast. We'll just
real quick.
Yeah, stunt car. When you see the General Lee flying over bales of hay in the town square, that's a stunt car. That's the one that is pretty rough, really. If you got a chance to look at it up close, you'd see that one's made several jumps in the past, or maybe it was built just for this one jump because it's going to be destroyed when it hits the ground.
Some nicks and some dents, definitely.
More than that. I'm talking like the engine will be pushed back into 4 or 5 inches or whatever it would be. Because they were really severe. There's a lot of severe punishment given to those vehicles. And it's not just that series. It's all series. Mm-hmm. So you'll find that there are stunt cars that were built that have full roll cages. They may even have smaller engines, but you know they're just built to be destroyed, or they're built to slide around a turn where they don't want to do that with the original vehicle.
And on the other hand,
you've got these really pretty close-up cars where, you know, that's where the talent rides in, and they go on the process trailer like we just talked about.
Okay.
The close-up, so that, you know, it looks authentic. It's a real vehicle. Mm-hmm. It may be the real Ferrari. In that case, it's not the one that's, you know, laid out so that it can be smashed into a street lamp.
Right. So there are multiple copies of this, just like there was more than one collie playing Lassie.
Yeah, that's right.
And if somebody who was at that auction with you really wanted that Green Hornet vehicle and they didn't get it this time around, maybe they can get a copy somewhere.
Possibly, yeah. And you know what? Mm. Now that we're back to this again, I have to ask you. What would be the vehicle that you would like to drive?
Oh, you already know, man. The Batmobile all the way home. I would not leave it for fear of losing it. That would be so awesome. I mean, missiles. There's a laser, I think, in one episode.
I'm sure there is.
And, you know, this is just the old school Batmobile.
Yeah.
I would probably get rid of Robin. If Robin came with the car, I would switch him out.
That's
or
a deal breaker.
That's a deal breaker. Yeah, that's not going to work for me.
Yeah,
you know, no disrespect to Robin fans out there or the actor who played Robin, but you know, that's the kind of car where you drive up by yourself because you go on adventure.
I would like to have Adam West somewhere nearby.
Yes,
just so that he could say these words. He could say diabolical.
Yes, you know what? He could take the shotgun seat.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't take the shotgun seat because then I would be Robin, and that's weird.
That's weird
to me.
Well, the outfit would be a little odd.
The outfit probably would not be.
I wasn't crazy about the outfits, but
costumes.
Outfits, costumes, I don't know, whatever they were.
But the cars.
The crime-fighting gear. Yeah.
The CFG. So it sounds like we're about done with this one, huh?
I think so, yeah.
To our listeners out there, we really hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any future topics or suggestions for ideas that we should cover, please send us an email. And if there's any TV vehicle or car that you remember that we forgot to mention here, please send us an email also at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story. One passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.